This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Friday mornings, Dr. Peter Hammond's going to meet with us. He's the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, as well as the William Carey Bible Institute. Dr. Hammond, good morning.
Brad, how are you today?
Yeah, very good. So nice to spend time with you.
Well, Ron in the news, we want to look at what the Bible says about Persia, and there's so much interesting input. Of course, we all know about Queen Esther was once Queen of Persia, what today is called Iran, and she was challenged at one time, who knows whether you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And although Esther was only allowed to go to the king if he specifically called for her, and to go into the king's presence without being actually summoned could be the death penalty immediately. She said, if I perish, I perish. She determined to do her duty and to speak up for her people. Well, there were times that there were threats coming from Persia, like the wicked Haman, who sought to wipe out Hebrew people in Babylon and Persia. But there was also Cyrus the Great, who was really the founder of the Persian nation, and he gave the instruction for the exiles that Babylon had brought out of Judah to go back to Judea and rebuild the temple. And so in 2 Chronicles 36, we read that in the first year of Cyrus, king of the Persians, he gave the word of the Lord as had been given to him by the prophet Jeremiah for all the people who were from Judea to return and to build a house for the Lord, for Yahweh, in Jerusalem. And that's remarkable, because there's no other example in history where exiles have been sent back and not only permitted to leave but instructed to go back to the homeland, and even finances made available for the building of, in this case, the temple. So this is quite remarkable how God used the king of the Persians, Cyrus, in order to encourage the return and the reconstruction of the temple. And Ezra and Nehemiah ultimately went from Persia to help to rebuild the temple. So that's extraordinary. And we can see how God has used Persia over the years to help God's people. They've been exiled by the Babylonians, but it was Daniel the prophet who sounded the death knell of Babylon when the wicked king blasphemously used instruments from the temple, looted from the temple in his drunken feast, and the hand of God wrote on the wall, where we get the term seeing the writing on the wall from. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. Nobody could interpret except Daniel, and Daniel said, number, number, weight the visions. You have been weighed in the balances, and you are found wanting. God has taken your kingdom from you this night. You will lose your life and your kingdom. It'll be given to another. And it was to the Persians that the kingdom was given. And so Daniel later was challenged by a new law in Persia that no one was to pray to anyone except the king for the next month. And Daniel, being Daniel, continued to pray to the Lord God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah. And for that, he was thrown to the lion's den. And we know that God preserved him in the lion's den, because our Lord is not only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
And Daniel wrote prophecies and predicted exactly when Messiah would come. And wise men from the east, the Magi, who almost certainly came from Persia, came to bring gifts and to worship the newborn king in Bethlehem. And so you think how Persia is interwoven into our Christian story and into the Gospels even. And the first foreign dignitaries, you could say, to acknowledge the lordship of Christ and the messiahship were these Magi, these wise men from the east, who were following, doubtless, Daniel's prophecies to know exactly the times and the seasons and when to come, and to find out where he would be born. So when we hear that, that's important to understand. It's also important to understand how many Christians there are in Persia today. Iran the home of Zoroastrianism is now mostly Islamic, but increasing amounts of Iranians are turning away from Islam, from the radical Sharia and Shiite religion of the Ayatollahs. And today it is believed that something like 3% of the people of Iran, which works out to almost 3 million people, are Christians. And that's an amazing church growth. You're seeing the church growing dramatically in Iran. They've grown from 300,000 to 3 million in the last 10 years. And there's phenomenal church growth. So we have Christians in the Middle East, in Iran, and we should be praying for them and remembering the important work of missions in these areas. Now, I believe that the best way to deal with these political problems and military problems in the Middle East is evangelism, prayer, and ministry. We need to be supporting the ministries like Satellite 7, Sat 7, broadcasting from Cyprus, the gospel 24 hours a day in the Farsi language, the Persian language. We've also got a channel just broadcasting the gospel in the Turkish language, and also two channels in Arabic, including a channel just dedicated to children ministry. So praise God for the ministries working there, like Youth with a Mission. One of my friends who served in our mission years ago is now working for Youth with a Mission in the Middle East, and reports that they are regularly under rocket attack, even though she's based in Jordan. And who would have thought, why is Jordan getting rocketed? But Iran is sending missiles into 12 different countries in the region. And that's just extraordinary. That just shows how widespread this war already is. So there are Christians in even Jordan having to go to the bomb shelters every day. There are Christians throughout the Middle East. We need to be praying for them. 10% of Egypt are Coptic Christians. Something like 6% of Syria are believers. There are smaller numbers in these other areas, but we need to praise God for the Christians that are in the Middle East. We need to be supporting them and praying for them. This is a key part of what's going on in the Middle East, is to understand that this is a spiritual battleground. And I think instead of bombing the people in the Middle East, it should be more constructive to bombard them with the gospel through radio, through TV, through satellite, through internet, hard copy Bibles. Instead of sending in the Marines, we need to send in the missionaries. We need to be involved in solutions. David was a conqueror. He killed Goliath, the giants. But Jesus is more than a conqueror. He took Saul, the persecutor of the church, and turned him into the Apostle Paul, the missionary and evangelist of the church. We need to be those involved in the solution. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. So as we read the news headlines about war in the Middle East, let's think more specifically about fulfilling the Great Commission in the Middle East. And praise God for the Esthers and Daniels of the past. We need people who will dare to be a Daniel today, who will stand for the Lord, who will make a stand for the gospel, who will not compromise their faith. We know that great hymn of the faith, standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. We need to be Daniels and Esthers. Who knows but that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. May God bless all of our listeners and all of the believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East, especially in Iran or Persia right now.
The voice of Dr. Peter Hammond, thank you for that. He's the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Here's to a really great day and a peaceful weekend until we can connect again.
Thank you so much, Brad.
And just a reminder that these Christian perspectives on the news from Monday through Friday are always available for you as a podcast later on in the morning. Yeah, will make sure those are for you on ready for you on the K-Pulpit website. That's kpulpit.co.za. You click on podcast and you'll see Christian Perspective on the News has its own channel. And the newest episode is always the one at the top of the pile. For all the other conversations on the show, you can go to that podcast tab and then look for Get Up and Go Breakfast. That's our show, and you'll find all of the contributors listed there, whether it's Dr. Wendy, whether it's Professor Dion Foster, and Johnny Lowe, and Zanti Swanepoel, and all those other conversations. You'll find them under Get Up and Go Breakfast. Don't miss out on that. We can see from how many people are enjoying those podcasts that you either missed out and you want to check it out, or you've enjoyed it so much you can't wait to listen to it again and share it. All on kpulpit.co.za. You simply click on podcasts.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.